We come to the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians, and in this chapter, the Apostle Paul provides us an explanation for his boasting, even in asking his readers to bear with him in his folly as he boasts, not boasting of the great works that he had done for the Lord, but boasting for the glory of God and boasting of his sufferings. Notice here that Paul is not boasting of how good he had done for the churches in Corinth, but rather out of godly jealousy, because there are those in the churches in Corinth who challenge or disapprove of his apostleship and criticize him for his whatever they can think of concerning him. And so it is not out of a wrong kind of jealousy, but it is a zeal for the well-being and the purity of God's people. And so his boasting is done in order to advance Christ in the churches in Corinth. So in verses 22 to 27, Paul highlighted the lineage and his suffering, drawing attention to the fact of how much he has endured, the hardship that he went through, and even to the point of death, so as to set against. And the reason why he gave that, or highlighted that, not just to win sympathy, not for the purpose of winning sympathy from the reader, but rather to draw attention to the fact that he endured all this so as to set aside, or rather set against, the earlier description of the false teachers who ministered and served in the church for self-interest and for their personal wealth and gain, whereas Paul ministered and bring the gospel of life to the people of God for the glory of God, for the advancement of the gospel, and for the love or the well-being of God's people. And this indeed must be the end of every minister and every preacher, to advance the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, not for personal gain, but for the glory of God and for the well-being of God's redeemed people. Paul was proud of his lineage as a Jew. He was no bigot. He was called of God as the apostle of the Gentiles. It was he who constantly disclaimed all confidence in circumcision, and it was he who was continually breaking down the barriers which divided the Jews and the Gentiles. But yet, for all that, as a man, he was not ashamed to say he was a Hebrew, an Israelite, and of the seed of Abraham. Our study for today is the Christian's spiritual lineage. Verse 22 reads, "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I." I shall begin this text by applying it in a spiritual sense to every Christian believer. Romans 9:6 tells us, "They are not all Israel which are of Israel after a carnal lineage, but all God's people." And praise and thank God for those of us who are God's people. "But all God's people are the true Israel, the spiritual seed in whom the promises made to Abraham are this day fulfilled. And I hope that every one of us, or every one of you here, can say from your heart like Paul, are they Israelites? So am I. And so putting this in your claim to the privileges which belong to the people of God. The Israelites, as we know from Scripture, were called a peculiar people. And so it is for those of us who are spiritual Israelites, Christian believers. We are called a peculiar people. You remember Jacob's name? His name was changed to Israel in Genesis 32:28. So, firstly, the Israelites of God are like their father, like Israel. And they are like their ancestors, like Israel, like Jacob. All the Israel of God, or the Israelites of God, are in some respect like Jacob, who was surnamed Israel. They were a peculiar people. Why? Because of their election, not because of any of their works or merits, but they are a peculiar people because of their election. The Bible tells us in Romans 9:13, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. The children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, says Paul in same chapter 9, but verse 11. Jacob was God's chosen. God has set his love upon him, and before he was born, God had distinguished him as his elect child. Now this is indeed a very deep and profound doctrine. There are many who object and question this doctrine of election, but I'm not here to answer them. God's word says so, that settles it. The doctrine of election may seem to us contradictory, but I say that it is only our ignorance and our pride that makes us think so that it be. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, says John the Apostle in 6:37. John 6:37. And it is just as true as Jesus later declared, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. John 6:44. And so it also stands true. In another verse in the Bible, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. Though it is also at the same time written, I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Romans 9:15. And one more supporting text for the doctrine of election. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Romans 9:16. So, brethren, let this be recognized as a truth. Then, by every true Christian believer, that he or she is so, by reason of the choice of God. Praise, all we need is to humble ourselves and to give thanks to God for his electing love and mercy for us. The rest, don't burn your brain cells to try to rationalize it or to find out why. Why is it so? Why is it not so? And why am I chosen? Why some are not chosen? It is of the Lord's mercy. That is all. We cannot say that it was our choice, and we dare not attribute our separation from the unbelievers being elected to anything in us by nature. We must lay our crown at Jesus' feet at the feet of the divine sovereignty and bless that distinguishing, discriminating grace which has made us different or differ from the rest of the world. True Christian believers are spiritual Israelites by election. Next, another characteristic in Jacob's history which is common to all true Israelites. We know from Scripture that not long after Esau got his pottage and Jacob the blessing, then Esau sought to kill Jacob. And that is why we see in this world that there must be, and it must be no surprise to all of us, as it is in Scripture, there must be a hatred between the child of God, or the child of the flesh, and the child of the Spirit of God. They could not live together, just as Esau and Jacob. They could not live together on the same earth without animosity against each other. Jacob must flee. He must leave his father's house. He must go without the camp. And so it is for us believers in Christ. The world will soon find you out, and they will hate you. John 15 verse 18. And particularly if you are living a life as a Christian in holiness and righteousness, the more they will hate you, because your life as light of the world and salt of the earth will be an offense to them. They cannot accept that. It exposes the darkness in them, and they will be against you. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him or her rejoice, says the Bible. And if you are a true Christian, you will have to suffer as a Christian for Christ's sake. But of course, please do not say that you are suffering for Christ or for the sake of the gospel if it is all your foolish doing. It has nothing to do with the name of Christ or the gospel. It is your own fault. You must bear reproach as a Christian, and in obeying your master's law, you will come into conflict with the world's custom, with the world's philosophies, with the world's way of life. And consequently, you will lose the world's favor. So there are Israelites, and you are among them, and for the truth's sake, you become an alien, even to your own family. That is the cross. Even to your own family. And it is true. We have family members and loved ones in our own family who are not believers. And they, in some sense, oppress us or oppose us or even hate us. However, for Jacob, in leaving his father's house, he received a great blessing, in that he is typical of all Israelites, namely the manifested covenant made with himself personally. The God of the covenant, in his mercy, made a covenant with Jacob, which God established and made steadfast forever. Therefore, if you are a spiritual Israelite, you have had some insight into the covenant of grace. You have seen it by faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, his humanity on earth, and also his deity in heaven. You have seen by the eye of faith, for those of you who are believers, the God who makes and keeps the promise in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus, speaking to you and saying to you, I will be with thee and will bless thee. Genesis 26 verse 3. Brethren, you must You must have had some such revelation of God in Jesus Christ, or else, I should have to question whether you are one of the Israelites at all. For they who know the God of the Bible know him as their covenant God, and know him as David did when he said, although my house be not so with God, yet he, God, had made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he made it not to grow. In this text or verse, David is saying that he knew that his family was not or were not walking right with God. They were not faithful to him as David. They were not zealous for God. Yet David is comforted and assured that God will keep the covenant God made with David and his posterity concerning the kingdom. So for the Christian believers, you can be assured that God will likewise keep the covenant of grace he made with all believers. That God will be in Christ to them a God, a loving, gracious and kind Heavenly Father to each of his blood-bought children. Are you one of them? Another aspect of Jacob's history in which all the Israelites must follow him was when God encountered Jacob at the brook of Jabbok. It was there that Jacob became Israel. The supplanter became a prevailing prince. I'm trying to bring this out to all of us who are true believers. You see, in that encounter, we read that Jacob wrestled with the angel of God and refused to let him go. And we know actually it was a matchless wrestling. Jacob surely will be defeated, but Jacob played the man and said unto God, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Genesis 32:26. Now, I'm trying to bring out to us, if we are true spiritual Israelites, take note, we knew something of wrestling and prevailing prayer, do we not? So, you are no Christian if you do not pray. A prayerless soul is a Christless soul. You have no inheritance among the people of God if you have never struggled with that covenant angel and come off as the victor. For prevailing prayer is the indispensable mark of the true child of God. I repeat, simple point, but yet so hard to practice. Prevailing prayer is the indispensable mark of the true child of God. So in summary, you see here, brethren and friends, that election, we see illustrated in the choosing of the inheritance rather than the cottage in Esau, and then in being hated by his brother Esau, and in being separated from his father's house, is pictured in Jacob entering into covenant with God. And then further, in the wrestling and prevailing prayer, and even in weakness, Jacob or Israel becomes the type of the true Israelites. And I hope as we briefly went over the history of Jacob, you will be able to say with or like the Apostle Paul, are there any such person in the world that are spiritual Israelites? Even so am I. Can you say that from your heart, my dear friends? And then this brings me to my second point, a personal claim that makes, or rather, a personal claim that requires or needs proof. If you say that, so am I, can you prove it? And so the Apostle Paul knew that his claim, so am I, was indisputable, because we read of his ministry and suffering for the sake of the gospel of Christ. However, we do know from the Bible and from our own personal experience, as Christian believers that is, that there are very many persons who say, so am I, when they have no right to say that. When others come to the Lord's table, they come. When believers in Christ are baptized, they are baptized too. They are virtually saying, whatever Christian may be, I am. Friends, it is one thing to pretend to be a noble in Christ's royal court, and another thing really to be a saint in God's kingdom, in heaven's kingdom. There's a big difference. Brethren, let us not claim to be Christians if we are not. If your hearts are not right with God, get rid of your profession. Nothing can be more detrimental, more deceiving to you at the last than to have had a name to live while you have been dead. Dead spiritually. Far better to honestly confess yourself as a stranger. Far better to confess, honestly confess that you are outside of the kingdom of God, that you are not the child of God, that you are a stranger from the commonwealth of Israel, than to be considered an outsider among the saints of God, and entering into the sanctuary of God where you have no right to stand. And you deceive yourself and you live in that delusion. Oh, by the way, I have briefly written an article on the same subject, which came to my thought as I was thinking of the article. So you can read that for a further understanding of this point that I'm trying to make. If we dare to say, so am I, let us only say it after having seriously searched ourselves, our hearts, by the help of the Holy Spirit, through the light of God's Word, and after having prayed, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 139, verse 24. Dear friends and brethren, if we can or have done this, search ourselves and pray like David prayed, then by the help of the Holy Spirit, if you have prayed such prayer to have your heart searched by God, then you have given proof or good proof of your claim, so am I. And that claim will produce in you joy unspeakable. Surely these three words, so am I, will be enough to make heaven begin on earth. If, when the saints rejoice most in their standing and position before the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can say, so am I. And you can certainly do so, dear friend, in all the fullness of joy, if you, by faith, trust Him wholly. If you are unable to do so, yet you can, if only you now trust Him. Trust Him simply, trust Him now, trust Him ever. Then all the positions, the privileges of the saints, which God holds, belongs to you. All their enjoyment and all their spiritual possession are yours. And you may say, together with all true Israelites, such am I. Such am I. May every Christian believer here feel, so am I. And so prove by your gratitude, or rather to prove your gratitude by your heart's devotion, and live as those who, having claimed privilege, are willing to take responsibility connected with it, to live a life that glorifies God. Is there a lost and ruined sinner here? If there is, may I say to you, the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And that, and I pray that each one of us who claim or who make that claim, so am I, that we may truly trust in Him and diligently seek after Him and grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sinners, you have no hope but in Christ, in the Lord Jesus. Will you trust Him? Do not deceive yourselves. Do not live in the delusion that because you are found among the saints in the sanctuary of God, therefore you are able to say, so am I. God help you to trust Him at this very moment. Cast yourself upon Him, where so many millions have cast themselves to the Lord Jesus, upon that covenant mercy of God. Cast yourself upon the covenant mercy of God in Christ and cry. And they cry. And so can you. We are saved. And so you may stand and say, so am I. May the Lord bless us. May we be found numbered with God's Israel in the day when our Lord Jesus Christ returned to usher us into His new heaven and His new earth. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray once again that Thou will indeed help us to examine and to search our own hearts by the help of Your Holy Spirit, and then in the light of Thy sacred word. May Your Holy Spirit speak and work in our hearts and help us. Help us that we may truly be given that faith to trust in the Lord Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. And Father, we pray for those of our brethren who may be weak in faith, that Thou will encourage them, that Thou will give them the assurance, indeed, if they are able to say, so am I, surely, surely, Lord, they are found in You. And we pray that you will strengthen their faith and increase their faith, their hope, their trust in thee. And same for us too, Lord, that we may work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, and to make our election sure. So help us, O Lord. Amen.